This episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare, an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. Learn more and get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/AC. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host and I'm the author of a bunch of books, including The Motivation Code, releasing on October 6th. Brand new book based on over 50 years of research into what really drives us. It completely changed my life when I became involved with this research, and I want you to have the same experience. So if you'd like to take the full Motivation Code assessment, all you have to do is go to themotivationcode.com, pre-order the book, register your pre-order, and then on October 6th, we're going to send you a link to take the full Motivation Code assessment so that you can get the most out of the book. Again, that's at themotivationcode.com, pre-order and register your pre-order. And hundreds of people have already done this. And you will receive not only the book, but also a link to take the full Motivation Code assessment when the book releases on October 6th. So one of the things that I've written about often in the past is that, you know, there are three distinct kinds of work that we do. There's mapping, which is planning, it's strategy, it's preparing ourselves for whatever is to come. There's making, which is the execution of our tasks, which is really important. We have to execute. But there's a third kind of work, which is meshing. And meshing is all the work between the work. It's the little things we do to align ourselves, to prepare ourselves, to be able to produce great work over the long term. This meshing activity, these things that we do that don't seem urgent in the moment, but are critically important over the long term, are what set us up to be able to build a body of work we can be proud of. And I recently had a conversation with someone who I think really articulated this as well as I've ever heard anyone articulate it before. His name is Robert Glaser. He is the author of a couple of books, the book Elevate, which was a smash bestseller, and also a new book called Friday Forward, in which he shares some stories to help us develop the capacities we need to develop in order to position ourselves to be successful in life and in work. And so this conversation with Robert was fantastic. I think you're really going to enjoy it. He is going to bring a ton of value to you, to how you approach your work, especially in these crazy uncertain times. Can we even still say that because it's been so long? These crazy uncertain times that we are in. And I really took a lot out of it personally that I am applying to my life. I think you're going to take a lot out of it as well. So we're going to dive into that conversation with Robert, author of Friday Forward, here in just a minute. Before we do, a couple of things. First of all, in September, I'm doing a series of workshops that are available to the public online. So normally we do these in cities all over the country. People fly in, you know, to different cities to come in to do a workshop, but I'm going to be doing them online in September. It's called Creative Leader Roundtable. And it's really just a way to connect with other leaders to talk about what we're doing during this time. I'm going to be sharing some principles from all of my books to help us be prolific, brilliant, and healthy as leaders. Maybe you don't think you're a leader because you don't lead a big team of people, but if you have any degree of influence in your organization, you belong at the roundtable. So go to creativeleaderroundtable.com to learn more or to sign up for the workshop. The first live session is on September 15th, so you need to sign up before then to get the most value. If you can't make the live sessions, it's okay. We're going to be releasing video versions of these as well. So just because you can't be there for a particular live session, don't think you're going to miss anything. But better if you are, because we're going to be doing a lot of interactive. It's basically going to be me and you and your fellow creative leaders interacting about leadership and some of the issues that we're facing. So again, creativeleaderroundtable.com is where you can go to learn more. Also, this episode is brought to you by one of our favorite sponsors in the world. It's Skillshare. So Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people like you. You can explore new skills, you can deepen your existing passions, you can get lost in your creativity. At a time when so many important conversations are happening in the world, we need your voice more than ever. You need to be contributing to the cultural discourse, whatever that looks like. You know, whatever that looks like for you, you need to be adding your voice to the mix. And Skillshare is a great way to develop the skills that you need to be able to put your voice into the world in a way that it resonates with other people. They offer classes designed for real life and all the circumstances that come with it. And the lessons can help you stay inspired, express yourself, and will introduce you to a community of millions of people. I've been a Skillshare premium subscriber for a couple of years now, and I can always find a class that will help me through whatever season I happen to be in, whatever skill I happen to need. There are classes covering just about any topic, any skill that you could possibly need. For example, mastering illustration, sketching, inking, and color essentials, right? So if this is something you've always wanted to do, something you've always wanted to develop, but you've never really known how to do it, this is a great place to start. iPad illustration, draw a digital coloring page, right? Filmmaking from home, productivity masterclass, principles and tools to boost your productivity. So you can learn about entrepreneurship, productivity, any kind of art, any kind of craft that you want to develop, where you want to develop your skills. Skillshare is going to have something to help you down that path. So here's the deal. You can explore your creativity and get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/AC. Again, that's skillshare.com/AC to get 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. This is a remarkable opportunity. 2 months of unlimited access for free. Get started and join today by heading to skillshare.com/AC. And we thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's wonderful to have on the show today Robert Glaser. Robert is the author of a couple of books. He wrote the book Elevate, which is a massive bestseller. And he also has recently released the book Friday Forward, which is kind of a follow-up to Elevate in some ways, and we'll talk about that in a minute. He also hosts the podcast Elevate. He's the founder and CEO of Acceleration Partners. Robert, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Todd, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about you and about your background. And, you know, I know that you, there is a whole lot that came before the writing of books, right? Tell us a little bit about your career journey and kind of how you got to where you are right now.
A lot of it's accidental and creative, so it's relevant. 13 years ago, I started a performance marketing agency called Acceleration Partners. We help manage affiliate programs for large brands all over the world, which is a type of digital marketing. And as we grew that, I didn't want to grow that business because I didn't like what I saw from a lot of businesses, but I was sort of reluctant. And then I decided, actually, as we grew that business, I became pretty passionate about how we would grow that business and invest in people and the culture. And so I always tell people my day job is sort of being the CEO, and my afternoon and night job is trying to share a lot of these best practices and things that I've learned on the way that I think can be helpful to people in other businesses who are looking to build their capacity and to grow.
Yeah, this is definitely my favorite kind of advice sharing, is when it comes from somebody who's still in the trenches, right? Somebody who's still every day having to figure it out. There's a kind of precision that comes with practitioners who are sharing advice versus, you know, theoreticians. And so
I love academics as much as the next person, but I agree. I don't feel comfortable, have moral standing to talk about something unless I have done it.
Sure.
or played around with it, or, you know, tested it or seen it. I mean, you look around right now, everyone is a virtual company remote expert. And, you know, they either are academic or they've been working from home for 2 weeks.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I think, and like you, I mean, I absolutely love the rigor of academic research and all that goes into it. But, you know, what I really love is when you combine that with field tested wisdom, right? And so I think maybe it's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. I think knowledge comes from that academic research and the data maybe that's born from that research. But wisdom comes when you apply that and you sort of understand it situationally, not just in specifics, but situationally, you know, and how to adapt in the midst of kind of being, well, as I said, being in the trenches and having to make decisions on the fly.
Well, totally. But there's also an issue of application, right? I could write an academic theory on the best way to fire someone, right? But until you've actually had to fire someone, like, it's not, you might know the theory, but you know, then the person starts crying, or then, you know, and then just they start screaming at you. Like, it's never as clean as the theory makes it sound.
Right. Yeah. That is not a fun experience for sure. So,
but I always think of that's a great example between someone saying, here's how it looks perfectly in a book, and then talk to people who have been through that in HR, and you get a very different story.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it is sort of my, also my experience with, you know, like 23-year-old life coaches, right? I'm like,
Well, I always say, I don't want any coach that hasn't done it or is a coach because they failed doing it. Like I'm not interested in those people as coaches.
Yeah. You want the person who's done it and now they're saying, all right, I want to help other people do it, right? That's the, you know, this is my opportunity to give back, which is kind of where you are, which is kind of, again, to bring us full circle back to their original question, why you wrote this book, Elevate, which came out a while ago and was, again, a massive bestseller, and also now have written this follow-up book called Friday Forward. And really the core framework of this book centers around what you call the four capacities. And I would love, I mean, I found this really fascinating and the way that you approach it really fascinating. I would love to just have a conversation about those four capacities. Could you explain to us what they are? And then I would love to dive into each of them just a bit and kind of understand a little more about how you think about them.
Sure. And it might help, and if you give me 2 seconds, I can just tell the actually whole story that led to Elevate.
Sure,
the
please.
Process. So 5 years ago, I started sending this email to my team on Fridays, and it was just about improvement or getting better. It was part of my desire to sort of improve my morning routine and have something positive to read. I didn't really like all the sort of rainbow and unicorn stuff that I was reading. So I started writing these notes, and the sort of short story is people started sharing them outside of the company. I opened them up to people outside the company, and you know, within a couple of years, 100,000 people around the world had signed up for my Friday note, which I renamed Friday Forward. I had great followership, and I decided, oh, I'm going to write this book called Friday Forward. And I sort of pulled together the compilations. I took it to some agents, and they all said, yeah, the publishers won't be interested in a compilation for your first book. I had written a marketing book. They all said the same thing. And then one agent said to me the same thing, but he said, look, I think there's a story. Like, what's the story behind these stories, essentially? So I went back to the drawing board for like a year or two and looked at all the themes. And I was like, all right, what is it about these messages that have sort of connected and helped people improve that I don't know? What is it about we've done with our company with people to invest in them holistically? How have I sort of improved my life dramatically the last couple of years? And then what have I seen from these other sort of world-class performers at the top of their fields? And it was all actually the same theme which came out of that, which was this notion of that about building intentional capacity. And as you said, spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional. So spiritual is really about understanding who you are and what you want most and the standards you want to live by. It's not religious. I've tried 100 other names and I couldn't come up with one. But I always like to put it as not religious. So for most people, this is like their core values or their core purpose or their why. Intellectual then, so once you actually know what you really want, that's how we improve our ability to think, learn, plan, execute with discipline. So this includes like having a commitment to improvement, a growth mindset, being proactive, your long and short-term goals, which really should tie to your values, routines, habits, and accountability. So kind of it's the learning engine. I call it the operating system. Physical capacity, we understand more directly, like it's your health, well-being, physical performance, kind of bracing competition, being resilient. I always say people understand physical capacity. They understand if I can't lift this weight more than 5 reps today, if I do 2 or 3 reps for 2 months, I'll lift it easier and faster, right? More reps and easier. All of these capacities are like physical. We just tend to think in the other one that we have it or we don't, not that it's something that we work on. And then the last one's emotional. So emotional capacity is how you relate to challenging situations, your emotional mindset, and the quality of relationships. So this is, first, we have some self-limiting beliefs, but it's really how do you interact with that world outside of you? One of the analogies I use that if capacity building was a sports car, spiritual would be like designing the car, intellectual would be building it, physical would be test driving it, and then emotional would be like, what happens when you put it on the track with other cars, right? It might not meet its factory specifications if the driver is aggressive or panics or, you know, is sweating or otherwise. And really, if you could picture these as like quadrants of a ball, and then when they're growing in tandem, the mass grows. If it's rolling downhill, the momentum grows. And then if you get really out of whack in one of these, it really affects the others, and you'll have a very wobbly ball. So that's how I think about it.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back and talk about spiritual capacity, the first capacity, a little bit, and talk about this idea of values. And like you said, it's not tied necessarily to any kind of religious framework or anything like that. But just at the heart of it, I think everybody agrees, regardless of maybe their worldview, that it is good to have a set of values. It's good in some capacity to at least have some framework that defines right, wrong, good, bad, healthy, unhealthy for yourself and for how you interact in the world. How do you come about that framework? I mean, how should we be thinking about that as professionals? Because I think we all see the effects, Robert, of when somebody doesn't have that, especially, I'm sure many of us have had leaders who maybe were a little more porous in terms of, the firewall of their ethics was a little porous, right? How do we begin to develop that framework for ourselves?
Yeah. So my contention is that we all have core values and we're running around kind of like the horse, like who hits the electric fence and gets electrocuted. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think when you violate your core values, you feel it. When you're doing things in service of your core value, you feel it, but we don't have the words or the taxonomy to make those decisions before we hit the fence or not. So I have a bunch of tips in the Elevate books about this. I'm actually launching a course on this because the thing I get asked about the most. But I think when you can go through and figure out your core values, a lot of them run deep. They run to childhood. They run to formative experiences. You're able to show up in the world authentically and say, here's who I am. Here's what I value. And, you know, there might be someone with questionable ethics, but I actually think that people align best when they get with other people who share their values. So I talk about like the big three. I think when you talk about decisions like who you choose as a partner, what you choose as your vocation or where you choose to work and where you live, if you make those misaligned with your values, they're probably not going to work out very well. So there's some tips in the Elevate book and some tricks, but there's stories of this in the Friday Forward book, but I actually think it's a process of self-actualization. They are there. It's like, it's our instruction manual that no one gave us to ourselves when we were born.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned those couple of examples of partner, vocation, where you live. It's my contention, and I often tell my kids, there are very few decisions you're going to make in your life that are irrecoverable, right? Or that are going to really dramatically affect you for a long time, a long period of time. And you just really hit on the couple, right? Like who you choose to partner with, where you choose to plant your roots and sort of develop your community. Those are a couple of things. And granted, you can recover from any of those things, obviously, but those are the kinds of things that are a little more, taking a job or not taking a job things that we tend to think of as really big sort of life-shaping events. They can be, for sure, but you can pretty much redirect from a lot of those things, right? But there are a couple that are so important, which is, I think, to your point, why it's so important to understand who you are and what you value before you make those big decisions, because they are so critical.
Yeah, it's not. And look, you can get out of any of these things, but the whole point is like, how much better would it be if you didn't have to hit the electric fence before you change directions? Yes. Where I could say to you, look, there's the white line. Don't walk near that.
Right, exactly. All right, well, let's talk about intellectual capacity, the second of the capacities. What are some ways that you think we should be engaging so that we're developing intellectual capacity?
Yeah, look, listening to the podcast is intellectual capacity. Someone who is looking to learn, so my example, when we were talking at the beginning of this interview about maybe a difficult conversation, right? If you're someone who really struggles with different difficult conversations, and they take a lot of your energy and they stress you out, right? You could spend an afternoon and read Patty McCord's work on this, read Kim Scott's Radical Candor, listen to some books, read that, and improve. Like, it's like upgrading your operating system so that you come in with the tools to have difficult conversations, and suddenly now those are not exhausting or emotionally draining or difficult, or you lose sleep the night before. Like you've added ability to your capacity to just handle those in a new and different way.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I always tell people that the single greatest discipline that I ever instilled was about 17 years ago now. I began a study regimen in the morning. It was sort of, you know, the first thing of the day, just feeding my mind in the morning. And, you know, sometimes I'm reading something really challenging and sometimes I'm just reading something that's just of interest to me, but it has radically changed my life in dramatic ways because it gives me more stimulus to draw from throughout my day. But it also teaches me to think more systemically, right? To think in bigger patterns, maybe.
Yeah, morning routines are a bedrock of intellectual capacity. Like most people who figure out a way to have a productive morning routine, start each day right, start on offense, you know, do it learning something. I think you'll find that as a sort of a keystone habit.
So let's talk physical capacity. Why is physical capacity important? I mean, I think people get, you know, spiritual capacity, intellectual capacity, even emotional capacity. Why is physical capacity something we should be mindful of?
Think about it as a glue, right? So let's think about you're tired, you're stressed, like you're just not feeling that good, your energy level's low. Well, you start forgetting kind of what's most important to you. You know, you're it's hard for you to learn because you're kind of impatient, you're fussy with people, you connect people all day long and you're fighting with them and you think it's them. So to me, physical capacity just acts as a complete accelerant or drag on all the other capacities in our life.
Yeah, well, that makes total sense, right? Because and I think people tend to like to try to segment their life or to compartmentalize their life. And we don't realize that when you are physically unhealthy, it affects your creativity. You know, it affects your ability to be emotionally patient, maybe with other people, because you just don't have the energy necessary to be in the moment. Like you're uncomfortable. You're just not. You know, you don't have that energy necessary. So how do you develop physical capacity in your life?
Yeah, so a lot of times I tie things together. So I like having a goal. I always said cheaper than buying a Peloton, and trouble these days sort of with in a COVID world, but cheaper than having a Peloton or a gym membership is to pay $50 for some event that is 4 months down the road that you sign up for. Whether it's if you haven't run before, it's a 5K, it's a 10K, it's an Olympic triathlon, like that as a goal, like the 3 months of practice towards that goal, it's not really about the event. It's about the sort of discipline and focus and working towards that. And there's something about putting that deposit down that just really, like, you know, gets you motivated to do it, because there's a due date. You know, when you go to the gym every time, there's not really a due date. So I try to pick something every year. For me this year, it's a half marathon, which I haven't done before, but it just becomes sort of an orienting thing that I'm working towards. And again, it's the work that creates a lot of the positive impact. I'm running a lot more and I feel better when I run.
Yeah, I started the same thing last year. I'd never run my entire life. I'd played basketball my entire life for exercise. And a couple of years ago, I tore my ACL because like an idiot, as a 40, at the time, 45-year-old guy, I was trying to play with like 20-year-olds, you know, like yeah. I didn't even do anything. I just planted my foot and just boom, my knee exploded. So basketball has sort of been taken, you know, off the menu for me. And so I started running last year and I hated it. My oldest is a cross country runner. So, you know, he runs like 10 miles a day at like 5.5 minute pace just for sport. You know, it's kind of like his thing. So I'm like, oh, how hard could it be? I got like a half mile down the road and I was like, this is terrible. I hate this. But now ever since then, I've been running about a 5K every day. Right. But it just took a while to build that capacity to where one day I remember I was running and I was like, oh, I'm enjoying this.
Doesn't suck. Yeah.
Yeah. This doesn't suck.
Here's an interesting thing about running, like, and again, tying it with intellectual capacity. Like, I don't love it. But I love the impact that it has on me. Mm. So I pick a podcast and I go run and I try to distract myself through the 5 or 6 miles. And like, that's okay, because I know that I feel better. I can feel the stress, like it, the impact is, but I'm not usually totally enjoying the process.
Right. Yeah, but to your point though, the benefits of that affect Correct. Everything else in your life. Like I noticed that I am more disciplined in my work when I've been running consistently.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the final capacity, which is emotional capacity. And you likened this to what happens when you get the race car out on the track. So how does emotional capacity play out in our lives?
Yeah, I mean, there's two main ways. I think it is how we respond to external things that we don't control. And this is a great time to examine that right in the world. Yeah. It's a lot we can control, a lot we can't. We control more of it than we think, you know, we can. We control our reactions, you know, we control a lot of things. And then it's also like, are your relationships like pulling you up and stretching you, or are they, you know, dragging you down? So, you know, one of the tactics in here I actually recommend people do is to build sort of a little relationship dashboard. And like, who are the five really important people who uplift you, you want to spend more time with? And you know, it's always better when you walk away from them on the left side. And on the right side, who are the five people that are kind of energy vampires, which is one of the stories in Friday Forward, that you feel worse and they're dragging you down? For a lot of people, there's people in family in this bucket or in work. And how can you start to just spend a little less time in those relationships and reallocate it? Because I love this notion of an energy vampire. Like, if there's someone you feel worse with every time you have an interaction with, you need to spend less time with that person.
Right.
It's just not, it's not moving you forward in any possible way.
Right. But we don't. It's uncomfortable, yeah. Right? And again, that probably circles all the way back to spiritual capacity. When we talk about what we value and what's important to us, you know, it's uncomfortable to have those conversations and to prune people and relationships from our life that are really sucking us dry, right? Well, in terms of our energy.
Yeah. And this is why they go in order, because I think when you know what you want, then you have a plan to get it and get better because you know what you want. Then you sort of maintain your health. But then you're really clear about the cost of some of these relationships and the relationships that you need based on where you want to go. But without that clarity, you may not realize what some of those relationships are costing you.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so, so wise. So the new book is called Friday Forward. It is the companion. Can we say that? It's the companion to the book Elevate, the best-selling book.
They're like siblings or cousins or, yeah.
There we go. Good.
Twins. Yeah.
And both are available wherever books are sold. Robert, thanks so much for taking the time to share your wisdom with us today. If people want to come find out more about you and about your work, where can they go?
Yeah, best place is to go is robertglazer.com, glazer.com. You can sign up for Friday Forward there. You can read about the books, podcasts, all that stuff. If they're interested in sort of what we do as a business, that's Acceleration Partners. Much easier to just Google it than to try to spell the URL.
Fantastic. Well, Robert, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.